It's fantastic to be with you once again. And we come to Parshas Kisisa. And we enter the season, the Bein Purim LePesach season. And I want to explore a connection within the Parsha using the tools of the Sefer HaChinuch and his eyes. We've been enjoying the last couple of weeks, his eye for seeing the practical philosophy behind mitzvahs, to explore particular mitzvahs, and to explore a smichas haparshis, a curious set of neighbors in this parsha, and perhaps even to shed some light on this between Purim and Pesach season that we find ourselves in. So I want to take a look at what in the Sefer HaChinuch is a series of three mitzvahs. It's really two topics that come one after the other. The beginning of Parshas Kisisa, the bulk of Kisisa, of course, is devoted to the story of the Egel HaZav, but there are halachic pockets as well. And particularly at the beginning of the Parsha, there are a stress on some of the Mishkan and Bigdei Kahuna topics that we have not yet dealt with over the course of Truma and Tzitzit. And here are a pair of neighbors. So Mitzvah Kuf Vav, Mitzvah 106, it's up on the screen right now, is a daily mitzvah. A mitzvah that whenever a Kohen enters, whenever a Kohen, it could even be several times a day, a Kohen comes into Mishkan, he's going to be doing Avoda, Avodos HaKarbanos, he needs to make use of the Kiyor, the Parsha of the Kiyor, the sink, the holy sink in the Beis HaMikdash. What follows the holy sink is a shift from water to oil, the mitzvah of preparing the special Shemen HaMishcha, the oil that was used on rare occasions for anointing, for inducting a Kohen Gadol, for inaugurating, for investing a king, a member of the Beis David. Both are topics, you know, Mishkan-related topics in the broad sense that haven't yet been dealt with. But it seems almost like a pair of footnotes. Now, we didn't talk about the Kiyor and Truma together with the rest of the Kalei HaMishkan, together with the rest of the equipment, the furniture, as it were, the Mishkan. We'll talk about the Kiyor here. We didn't speak about the oil that was used for inducting, inaugurating the Kohen Gadol back in Parshas Tetzaveh, and we spoke about all the clothes, all the big day kahuna, so we'll talk about it here. Is that all it is? Just a pair of footnotes, side by side? Or perhaps there's something more? There are definitely differences between these two mitzvahs, and without any bad puns, you know, clearly one is water, and the other is oil, and there are plenty of differences. One is used all the time, the other one is an incredibly rare occurrence. A Jew might see Shemen HaMishcha used in the days of Beis HaMikdash, you know, maybe a handful of times over the course of a lifetime. The Kiyor is in constant use every day. Maybe the closest we come to the Kiyor, just in our imagination, and there is a mitzvah to try to imagine, to connect with Mikdash mentally, if we cannot be there physically and geographically. We've all been at the Kotel, I imagine. You think about those glorious sinks as you're about to enter the area of the Kotel Plaza where men daven. On the way in, you have those sinks with the faucets all around. Kohanim, Jews of all sorts, wash their hands in advance of tefillah. Kohanim come out to wash their hands in advance of duchening. When you think about that sort of round, symmetrical, you know, multi-faucet sink, that's perhaps in our mind the closest one gets to a kiyor. Perhaps by design, I believe it is copper. And it's, you know, near the Makom Mikdash, if not in the Makom Mikdash, you know, surrounded by faucets from all sides. Jews use it in preparation. Kohanim use it before duchening. You know, and you think about how heavily that sink is used. You imagine we have a mitzvah to make zecher l'mikdash. Imagine in Beis HaMikdash, you're out in the courtyard of Beis HaMikdash, the open air space, and the large mizbeach towers above the mizbeach with the kohanim are makir of the vast majority of the karbanos. With the towering mizbeach with the long ramp, and nestled next to it is this copper kiyor. So what does the kiyor, the Kiyor, which is used hundreds, if not thousands of times a day, which dispenses water, what has that to do with the rare Shemen HaMishkan? So let's take a look. You know, let's actually begin with mitzvah Kuf Zayin. Mitzvahs Kuf Zayin and Kuf Ches are the mitzvos of the Shemen HaMishkan, and then we'll work our way back to mitzvah Kuvav, the mitzvah of the Kiyor. So let's take a look here. Mitzvah Kuf Zayin 107. Mitzvahs Meshichas Kohen Gadol Malchei Beis David b'Shemen HaMishkan. The mitzvah to anoint the Kohen Gadol and to anoint kings who are members of the family of David HaMelech, to anoint those two types of Jewish leaders with the Shemen HaMishkan. And he goes on to explain, in defining the mitzvah, Laso Shemen HaMishkan, to make this anointing oil, Al Ha'inyan Shetziv Satorah Laso. So according to the procedure and according to the recipe that the Torah prescribes, Shenet Mar, Psukim in this week's Parsha, Vasisa, So Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, etc. The Torah gives you a sense of the ingredients, the recipe for producing this Shemen. So we're supposed to make the shemen sheyia muchan limshoach bo kol kohen gadol sheyismaneh, so that it's ready and prepared to anoint any new kohen gadol who's going to be entering that service. Kemo shekasev, the Torah continues to discuss in Chumash Vayikra, hakohen agadol meyachav asher yutzak al rosho shemen hamishkan. The Torah describes the kohen gadol as having undergone the process of mashiachim. Shemen HaMishkan has been poured upon his head. As an aside, this was ideal, but not critical. The Mishnayos tell us in Maseches Megillah and elsewhere that this oil was not available during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. It had been hidden away, together with the Aron and several other items, decades before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. It's why the Kohen Gadol, when he came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Yom Kippur, during the period of the first Beis HaMikdash, he was face to face with the Aron. During the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, Mishnayos tells in Yuma, it was just an empty stone, because the Aron had been hidden away in a subterranean chamber before the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and sacked. And several other items were hidden away as well, including this Shemen HaMishkan. Which is why in the second Beis HaMikdash, they inaugurated Kohanim Gedolim simply through wearing the full set of 8 Big Day Kahuna that are described in last week's Sedra. When he switched up, when he geared up, as it were, and entered Beis HaMikdash to do Avoda wearing, would perform Avoda for the first time wearing the 8 special clothes of the Kohen Gadol rather than the 4 clothes of the Kohen Hedyot, he became, that itself, you know, shaped him into a Kohen Gadol. That's called a Meruba Begadim. He became a Kohen Gadol simply through wearing the additional clothes. That's not ideal. They had no choice in the second Beis HaMikdash. They had no oil. But the ideal is a Kohen Mashuach, a Kohen Gadol who is Mashuach, who has been anointed with this Shemen HaMishkan, with the special anointing oil. That's the ideal way to induct a Kohen into Kohuna Gadol. So that's one half of this. And the other half, the Chain, Sefer Chinuch goes on to say, not only is the oil used, not only is it the ideal way to inaugurate a Kohen Gadol, Moshchin bo Kitzas HaMelachim. You would use it for anointing some of the kings, not all of the kings, only those who belong to Beis David. And finally, the Sefer Chinuch writes, in addition to two different categories of people who were supposed to receive Shemen HaMishkan, Kohanim Gedolim and Malchei Beis David, Gam Kain, V'chein Gam Mashchu Bo HaKelim Shel Beis HaMikdash. They used it for inducting Kelim. At a certain point in history, they inducted the Kelim into use in Beis HaMikdash with Mashiach. So what's this all about? That's the basic definition of the mitzvah. What's it all about? What's the idea behind it? How does it shape us? How does it uplift us? How does it move us forward? Misharashe HaMitzvah. Here we are. Mitzvah Kuf Zayin. What are some of the Sharashay mitzvah? What are some of the ways in which the mitzvah of the rare mitzvah of Mashiach b'Shemen HaMishkan, how does it shape us or shape someone? Sharotza Akel Baruch Hu, Sefer Chinuch suggests, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Shena'aseh Pu'ula B'Nafshoseinu B'Yom Shena'ala L'Hizchanech B'Chvod Avodaso HaKadosha Te'ra'eh Banu Gidula V'Shevach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to perform an action. He wanted a procedure, a physical act On the day that we rise to a higher level in Avoda, when a Kohen Gadol when a regular Kohen upgrades to a Kohen Gadol, you need to have some sort of action which demonstrates Gedula Vashavach, something glorious, something special. V'zehu Mashiach HaShemen. That act is the anointing with the oil. V'sheinah Mashiach HaShemen HaTov lo yasu rak limlachim v'hasarim ha'gedolim. This, that the act, the procedure of Mashiach was something that was traditionally associated with royalty, traditionally associated with nobility. So the Kohen Gadol in his investiture undergoes a royal process, and that demonstrates and that articulates the glory of what he's rising to. So that's number one. Number one is that Shemen HaMishcha expresses the specialness of the person and the specialness of his new role. V'gam Yisod HaMitzvah, another aspect, another foundational aspect of the mitzvah, L'hiyoso Muchan V'bayis L'eis HaTzorech L'malas HaMakom. It's not only the rare, once in perhaps several decades, when there actually be an act of Mashiach, an act of anointing, that rare procedure, but there's another aspect to it, which is the Beis HaMikdash is stocked with Shemen HaMishcha. You may only use it once in 20, 30, 40 years, but the Mikdash always has it. As I mentioned before, it was part of the special kit, as it were, the holy kit that accompanied the Aron Kodesh, and that was put away together with the Aron Kodesh at the end of the Bayis Rishon. The Mikdash is stocked with it, ki yadua, and that's lemalas hamakom. That's part of the glory of Beis HaMikdash. Ki yadua al derech mashal, it says by analogy, mimalas bal habayis hanichbad, liyazmucham habayis kol atzarechba. If you run your house well, with dignity, you're well stocked. You're not caught at the last moment, oh, I'm out of eggs, I'm out of this, I'm out of that. You may only use, I'm sorry, I'm a northerner. I'll give a mashal that may sound foreign to your Floridian ears, but you know, a well-stocked balabas up where I live, you know, you got your shovels or you got your snowblower, right? You shouldn't be caught at, you know, the first snow is coming, all of a sudden running out to Home Depot to grab a shovel. No, you're well-stocked. You have it throughout the year. You've got if you take care of your own gardening, you've got your trowel, and you've got your cedar, and you've got your lawnmower. You don't run out, you know, when finally the grass is looking overgrown, better run out and get a lawnmower. No, you're geared up. You're well-stocked. You have it in advance. The garage is well-appointed, and when you need it, you've got it. Right? The fellow who, in the back of his car, he has cables, and he has a first aid kit, and he has what he needs. He may use it only once in a decade. But he's well stocked, he's well prepared, he's a good Boy Scout. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, part of the kavod of Beis HaMikdash is Beis HaMikdash is well stocked. We don't start the mitzvah, and you look back at the way he had described the mitzvah, it's not merely a mitzvah to do the Mashiach, it's to have the oil, la'asos shevin, to produce it and have the Mikdash is stocked and ready. Whenever we need it, it's already there. That's part of the kavod of Beis HaMikdash, that we're not, you know, chop schlop, last moment, let's grab what we need. It's a well-stocked, dignified facility, the Beis HaMikdash. V'losis akev sham melacha ad hachin hatzarech eleh. We don't have to hold up the works, and you know, we would have done Mashiach now, but now we have to wait because it can take us a couple of days, a couple of hours to produce Shem Mashiach. Nah, we've got it done well in advance. We're well prepared. So Sefer Chinuch writes, Shem HaMishcha captures the glory of the new role of the Kohen Gadol in particular, it communicates as something regal about the new level of Avodas HaKodesh that the Kohen is stepping into as he steps up to Kohuna Gadola. And it says something about the glory and the well-appointedness of Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is stocked. we're responsible, we're organized. So those are twin themes of Shemana Mishra. So far, it doesn't sound anything like Kiyar. So let's continue. A mitzvah Kufches, the following mitzvah, is paired with mitzvah Kuf Zayin. Mitzvah Kuf Zayin was to have Shemana Mishra and to use it properly, to deploy it for kings and for specifically Malchei Beis David and for Kohanim Gedolim. Mitzvah Kufches is the lav, the lo saseh, the negative commandment not to use it inappropriately. Shelo yosuch zar, b'shemana mishra. A non-Kohen, a non-king, shouldn't be using, rather abusing, the Shemana Mishra. Shelo l'mshalach, Sefer Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Kufches 108, not to anoint with the Shemana Mishra, which Moshe had made, anyone other than Kohanim. Al basar adam lo yisach. You don't use a stamio. There cannot be an auction, a charity bid, in which someone pays $2 million for the privilege of trying on some Shemana Mishra for size. That's not okay. It's only for use, for authorized persons only. And this is a severe lav. Why? What's wrong? We were going to run out? So he explains, no, Misharasha mitzvah zu gamkein lahagdolas habayis v'chol asher bo. He says, this isur, the fact that it's a restricted item, the Shemana Mishra, can only be used, not only that it must be used for Kohanim Gedolim and for kings, but that it can only be used for them and for no one else. God, it furthers the impact of the mitzvah of Shemana Mishra. Lahagdolas habayis v'chol asher bo. This further enhances the way in which Shemana Mishra adds to the glory of Beis HaMikdash and adds to the glory of the people who use it. We don't want to vulgarize it. We don't want it to be just anyone can use it. Then it loses its cachet. It loses its specialness. It's only going to be used for the very upper echelon of Jewish leadership, Kohanim and Malachim. And he says, if it's not available to the vast majority of the public, scarcity will add to the panache of the Shemana Mishra. They're going to be excited. People wish they could have Shemana Mishra. People wish they could watch Shemana Mishra being used. It's such a rare procedure. We think nowadays, rare mitzvos are Birkas Hacham is a rarity. Pidyon Petar Hamar. Now that's a rarity, right? Pidyon HaBen doesn't come around so often, but Pidyon Petar Hamar, Tipoda, the Bechor of a donkey, that's a rare mitzvah. Once in a couple of decades, you have the chance to perform that mitzvah. So in the days of Beis HaMikdash, there were many mitzvahs in Mikdash that were daily or weekly, and there were mitzvahs which were annual, like the Ketziras HaOmer and the Korban Pesach. But this was a rare one. You can't use it whenever you want to. It's only for a new Kohen Gadol, for a new king. That's going to happen. The rarity, the scarcity, people wish they could have it, wish they could wear it. They even wish they could just get to see it. Ki gadol erech hadvarim b'leiv rav b'nei adam lifi miut himatzam elav. As we know, there's a, if familiarity breeds contempt, or at least a lack of excitement, a lack of value, rarity and scarcity, of course, will increase value. So the picture that emerges from these two mitzvos, the mitzvahs aseh and the mitzvahs lo saseh of Shemana Mishra, mitzvahs kuf zayin and kuf ches, as we're building a really special, unique item that's going to be used on very rare occasions, used only for unique leaders of Klal Yisrael, kings who are from Malchus Beis David, Kohanim who rise to the top who become Kohanim Gedolim. They're inducted into their leadership roles with the Shemana Mishra. It adds to the cachet of Mikdash, and it certainly bespeaks and articulates the regal nature of their roles. So this is a rare item. It's oil. It's remarkable. It's scarce. He's highlighting the scarcity. Now, at first glance, you look back at the kiyor and you'll say, well, the kiyor is exactly the opposite. Every kohen uses it every single day. It doesn't have any special ingredients. There's no oil. There's no spices. It's water. Seems like the exact opposite. And yet, let's take a look. mitzvahs move back to mitzvah kuf vav. The neighboring mitzvah, the neighboring topic, the preceding topic right before Shema and Mishra, the kiyar. Mitzvah kiddush adayim v'raglayim b'shas avoda. The mitzvah say daraisa, the kohen washes his hands and feet before he begins avoda in Beis HaMikdash. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, a mitzvah lirchot hayadayim v'raglayim b'chol esi kanes l'heichal v'habal avoda avoda. A kohen is obligated to wash his hands and feet at the kiyar in advance of either of the following two items. Either if he's entering the heichal was the building, the open air space where the mizbeach, the big mizbeach and the kiyar are, the azara, that was an open air courtyard that surrounded the main building of the mikdash. The main building that housed in the outer room, the small mizbeach and the menorah and the shulchan lechem panim, and then further in, the kodesh hakadoshim with the aron. So anytime a kohen is going to be entering that building, entering the heichal, he needs to wash yadayim v'raglayim from the kiyar. Or even if he's not entering the inner sanctum, he's staying out in the azara, but he's planning to do avoda. He's going to be heading up onto the mizbeach to be makriv a karbon. He's going to be catching the blood of a karbon. So if he's planning to enter the heichal and or perform an avoda, he's required to precede that with kiddush adayim v'raglayim, washing hands and feet from the kiyar. Zosi mitzvahs kiddush adayim v'raglayim. That's what we refer to as kiddush adayim v'raglayim, sanctifying your hands and feet. That's the language that the Chachamim use. That's the rabbinic term, kiddush adayim v'raglayim. It says the pasuk tells us about it. V'rachat to this week's parasha. V'rachat tzua aron uvanam emenu sidehem v'raglayim. You're going to make a kiyar, and the pasuk says Aharon and his children, the Kohanim, will wash their hands and feet at the kiyar, bivo ame ol moed, when they enter into the ol moed, into the tent, into the structure, ol bikishtam mizbech, or if they approach the mizbech to perform avoda. So that's the basic mitzvah of kiddush adayim v'raglayim, using the kiyar to wash hands and feet, every kohen hedyo, kohen gadol, in advance of either performing avoda or entering the heichal or the ol moed. In the Beis HaMikdash was called the Heichal, and the Mishkan was called the Ol Moed. So what's this about? This mitzvah, which is a next-door neighbor to Shemen HaMishcha, HaYesod HaKavua Sha'amarnu, he says, this idea of Kiyush Adayim Raglayim is a further application of a concept that he's been talking about since Parshas Truma. There's a lot riding, there's a lot of value in adding to the glory of Mikdash and to the glory of the Avodos of Mikdash, because ultimately the Beis HaMikdash is meant to be a place that enables us to absorb ideas of Kedusha. There are lessons that any Jew coming to Mikdash, certainly performing in Mikdash, Any Jew is going to absorb so many ideas in Mikdash, and the more impressive the Beis HaMikdash is, and the more impressive and glorious are the Avodos of the Beis HaMikdash, the more impactful they'll be on our minds and our hearts. So there's a lot of value in adding to the prestige of Mikdash, and the prestige of Melechas HaMikdash. Al kein ro'i l'nakos ha'yadayim, she'in ha'osos ba'melecha b'chol eis yigu'u ha'kohanim b'nyonei ha'vayim. So he says, we understand well, we want the Kohanim using their hands in performing various avodos, they should be clean first. And he says, well, that might explain why if a Kohen is going to be on duty for several hours, performing avoda after avoda after avoda, bringing this carbon and that carbon, going into the heichal to take care of lechem panim, coming out, performing another carbon, Ein HaKohen, says the Gemara Zvachim, tells us, Ein HaKohen Tzarev L'Kayishad Ben Avoda L'Avoda. I don't have to do yet another Kiyush Adayim V'Raglayim in advance of each Avoda. Nah, Pamachas Baboker. He comes in at the start of business in the morning. He, Kohen, washes his hands and feet at the Kiyur. Ovid Kol Yom V'Chol HaLayla. He can go all day, all night. V'hu Shol Yishol Yatil Mayim Lo Yaseich Daito. Assuming he didn't take a nap. Assuming he didn't step away to relieve himself in the bathroom. assuming that he didn't lose focus. As long as he continues to be awake and focused and in a clean place, that one Kiyush Adayim V'Raglayim can last for hours. As a matter of fact, he said day and night. There's even a Machlokas HaTanoim. If a Kohen pulls an all-nighter and he doesn't go to sleep all night and he's still doing Avoda, when the next morning comes, the Machlokas HaTanoim does the power of the Kiyush Adayim V'Raglayim of Tuesday morning, does that expire when Wednesday morning comes? You have to wash your hands and feet again? Or I say, no, as long as you're awake and you're focused, you can go for 36 hours on a single Kiyush Adayim V'Raglayim. So he says, that idea, that it's not that every act of Avoda needs another Kiyush Adayim V'Raglayim, but rather, it gets you set, and then you can go for hours on a single Kiyush Adayim V'Raglayim. He says, you know what that teaches you? Nir mikol zeh, what emerges from that, she'ein hakavana berchitza mitchila, elo bahagdolas kivod habayis. The idea is adding, lending prestige, upgrading yourself, an upgrade on your hands, an upgrade on the Kohen's body in advance of doing avoda. Even though he was already tar, he was already physically clean, he was already spiritually tar, but still tzarech lirchatz. But once you start the avoda, no need to do it again. And again, except for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the one exception. Yom Kippur is the one exception. But other than Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol does have to wash his hands and feet a total of 10 times, any other Kohen, any other day, one act of cleansing lasts. In other words, what's the Sefer HaChinuch saying? In a word, the word is Hachana. The word is preparation. You're going to be doing avoda. Recognize the enormous, inestimable value of that avoda you're going to be doing. You're not just going to helter skelter run into avoda. You're about to start. Kohen's about to start a session of avoda, whether one avoda or 100 avodas. You need preparation in advance. And as he said, the fellow's hands are physically clean, and he's spiritually tahar as well. If he's tameh, washing your hands and feet aren't going to do anything. Tahara requires a full tevilah b'mikvah, and then waiting until the next evening. So he's already clean. He's already tahar. What's being accomplished by the kiddush adayim v'raglayim using the kiyar? It's mental preparation, attitudinal preparation. Getting in the zone, recognizing the enormous value, the gravitas. I'm about to do avoda. I'm about to do something of inestimable value. Prepare. Hachana. And once you recognize that, Rabosai, I think the Sefer HaChinuch now allows us to make sense of one of the questions with which we had begun, which is, what's the connection between these two neighbors in Parshas Kisisa? The Kiyor on the one hand, and the Shemana Mishka on the other hand. As items, they seem so unlike, so dissimilar. Right? Literally, one is oil, one is water, and one is oil. One is used hundreds, if not thousands, of times every day. And the other, Shemana Mishka, is used once in a couple of decades. What do they have to do with each other? One is for every Kohen, the other one is only for Kohen Gadolim. And only once in a Kohen Gadol's lifetime. The answer is, Hachana. The answer is, when we're involved in something special, when we're involved in valuable Avodas Hashem, we need to do something, as the Sefer says, Pu'ulu B'Nafsho Seinu. Sometimes we need a physical action to remind ourselves of the value of what we're doing. So that's going to happen. There could be concentric circles of that. So we'll do it to a certain extent every single day. Every single new session of Avodah Beis HaMikdash requires some degree of physical expression of Hachana. I'm going to physically prepare, and that's going to help me mentally and emotionally prepare for the godless of what I'm about to do. So we do some of that every single day, every Kohen. At the same time, when you're starting something new, you're starting a new dramatic role, that requires more than just show up to the Beis HaMikdash and wash your hands. That requires pulling out all the stops. Hashem and HaMishcha. This unique, rare, scarce item. And as the Sefer HaChinuch wrote in Mitzvah Kuf Ches, We're particular about how we use it. We're particular about how we restrict it to multiply the prestige of this incredibly unique Shemen HaMishkan. So that the application of Shemen HaMishkan to the Kohen Gadol once in his life, on the day that he begins his new role, that's going to have enormous impact. Wow. But fundamentally, it's the same dynamic as the daily Kiddush Adayim Ragalim from the Kiyor for every single Kohen. Every Avodah requires Hachana. Every Avodah requires a wake-up call. Do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize how special Avodah Hashem is you're performing? And then every once in a while, when the stakes are particularly high, you need a far greater reminder, a far greater expression. And as we've seen in the past, several times over the last couple of weeks, we can, once we abstract and generalize the themes of a mitzvah, even if it's a mitzvah that we haven't, Klal Yisrael has not had the opportunity to practice in 2,000 years or more. Kiyor, it's been almost 2,000 years since we had a Beis HaMikdash. Shemen HaMishkan, it's been over 2,500 years since we had Shemen HaMishkan in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash. And yet, we can look at these mitzvahs and figure how they apply to our lives also. Of course, we're not going to anoint ourselves with actual Shemen HaMishkan. That's a law in the Torah. But we can adopt and adapt this theme to our lives also. We too perform Avodas Hashem every single day. As a matter of fact, there's a discussion amongst Rishonim, at least three different approaches to making sense of Netilas Yadayim Shachar, of washing Netilas Yadayim when you get up in the morning. Negel Vaser. One of the approaches in Rishonim is that it's akin to the Kohen doing Kiyush Yadayim Ve'Raglayim when he walks into Mikdash. Well, what does that mean? I'm not entering the Heichal. I'm not bringing a carbon. Yes, but you and I, and he and she, and every single Jew is called upon to be involved in Avodas Hashem throughout the day. Nothing as dramatic, nothing perhaps, few things, if any, as obviously sacred as bringing a carbon. But just because the Kedusha isn't evident, just because the spiritual potential isn't as evident, it doesn't mean that it isn't there. And you and I have thousands, if not tens of thousands, of opportunity to perform Avodas Hashem every single day. But we don't necessarily think that way. So we have to make pu'ula b'nafshoseinu. We have to figure out what are the daily disciplines that will remind us of the value of what we're doing, that will get our minds and hearts in gear. One example is Netilas Yadayim. Another example happens to be brachos, and specifically Birkos HaMitzvos. Just stop for a moment and consider what we say. When we say Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kidisham Esosav, Vitzivanu XYZ. Right? So that those are words that we utter so many times a day. 10, 20. Depends on how many mitzvahs you do. Right? Depends which mitzvahs you do. But just think about it for a moment. We speak directly to Rabbi Shalom. Ata. You. Hashem Elokeinu. You're eternal. And yet you're our God. Melech Ha'olam. King of the universe. That's remarkable. Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. He's leading and guiding our lives, Elokeinu, while at the same time he rules the universe. He's imminent and transcendent at the same time. And this transcendent God who's running the entire universe, who created and manages the entire universe, he cares about me. He's invested in me, Elokeinu. And you know what? Part of his investment in me is Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctifies us through His commandments, through His expectations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of halachic discipline, which gives us the opportunity to endow ourselves with Kedusha. Wow. Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. And specifically, Vitzivanu, as an example of this dynamic of Kiddush Amos Vasav, specifically he commanded me to wash and tails a dime, or he commanded me to shake a lulav, or he commanded me to tovel kelim, or he commanded me to whatever the mitzvah is, to put on the talis, to put on tefillin. But as the Noah Yehuda writes in a very poetic tshuva in Yoredei Sim Tzadi Dalin, he says, as a birkas ha-mitzvah said well is such a powerful act of spiritual preparation. And the truth is, a chavrus of mine, Brian Gopin, pointed out to me many years ago, the Ritva already articulates this idea in his commentary to Psachim Dav Zayin, that the part of the role of Birkas, he discusses what the roles are of, what the functions are of Birkas HaMitzvah, and one of them is to prepare ourselves mentally, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, for a mitzvah. That's, this Ritva suggests, is one of the reasons why we're meant to say brachos on mitzvahs in advance of the mitzvah. You hear thunder, you see lightning, you see the Atlantic, if that's a rarity in your life. So you say a bracha after you see or hear whatever it is, because it's a reaction. You see something, you hear something, it inspires you. You come face to face with the majesty of a Kadosh Baruch Hu through observing his creation. You respond to that inspiration with a bracha. Birka Shevach Vahoda, brachas on what you see and hear, those are responsive. They're reactive. But Birkas HaMitzvah are proactive. You're preparing yourself in advance. I'm not just going to do the mitzvah. I'm going to get myself in gear, get my mind and heart in place to appreciate, to understand and feel the prestige, the value of what I'm about to do. That's why, unlike brachas on lightning and thunder, which are said after the event, after the encounter, brachas on mitzvahs are over lasiyas, and they're said in advance. They're preparatory. They are hachana. And this is something like the kiyor that we can do daily. As a matter of fact, we're expected to do it many times a day. And again, the Netilas Yadayim, Neglavas are in the morning, and Birkas HaMitzvos are requirements, midirabbanan. The Noah Yehuda writes in that tshuva, he says it's true, not every mitzvah calls for a bracha. There are plenty of mitzvahs we do that have no associated bracha. And the Noah Yehuda writes, it's my personal practice that I'm about to do a mitzvah that does not have a bracha, I will say in advance, it says, nothing, no profound Kabbalah, is a simple and powerful sentence. Harani osa davraze l'shem mitzvahs bori. I'm paraphrasing, but that's more or less what he says. I'm about to do this act because that's what God expects of me. That's what God expects of me to do X. To give tzedakah. To listen to another person. To daven. And so on and so forth. So we can find, the requirements of Chazal to wash Neglavasser every morning, to say a bracha in advance of so many mitzvahs, those are the floor. Those need not be the ceiling. That's, every Jew is expected to at least engage in Neglavasser and Birkas HaMitzvahs as a way of preparing ourselves to appreciate the value of the Avos Hashem that fills our lives. But we can find additional ways of doing that as well that heighten our appreciation. And that's like the Kiyor. And then you have the other layer of this, the Shemen HaMishcha model, the rare time when we pull out all the stops, when something is truly special. And the truth is, the period that we've just entered, the Bein Purim LePesach month, is meant to be a time of preparation. The opening din in Hilchos Pesach, Shaul and Vidarshan, over the course of this month, we're meant to learn and study the halachas of Pesach. The halachas of Pesach, perhaps the hashkafa, machshava of Pesach as well, to prepare ourselves mentally, intellectually, as well as emotionally and spiritually for the mitzvos and meaning of the yontif of Pesach. Here it's much more than just say a bracha beforehand. We're preparing weeks in advance, physically preparing for all the intricacies of the mitzvos, of the Leil HaSeder, and obviously preparing for chametz avoidance over the course of Pesach. So that could be a month of preparation, of learning and of practical doing, that heightens the impact that Pesach can have. As Ramban writes, we had a chance to learn together several weeks ago. Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo that Pesach is Yetzias Mitzrayim central because it's Emuna central. Pesach is when we, throughout the year, we want to keep Yetzias Mitzrayim in mind so that we thereby keep in mind the Emuna lessons that were made evident at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Pesach is the time when we're particularly focused on the Emuna education that Yetzias Mitzrayim offered us. And so, for Pesach, not surprisingly, we're going not only with the Kior model, but with the Shemen HaMishcha model. Much more intense type of high-level Hachana in advance, the amount, and we should recognize and value the learning and the practical preparation for Pesach over the course of the coming weeks, take it as an opportunity not just to be practically ready when Pesach shows up, but it adds to the prestige and the value that we can recognize in the gift of Pesach that's coming our way, a gift that certainly calls for this sort of intense, high-level preparation. But again, the yisod that comes both from the daily mitzvah of Kiyush Yadayim V'Raglayim and the once-in-several-decades mitzvah of Mashiach B'Shemen HaMishcha is to recognize that we can vastly leverage and multiply the impact of Arvos Hashem if we prepare for it in advance and remind ourselves thereby of the gift and the value of the mitzvahs that can fill our lives. And both say thank you so, so much. Have a marvelous day and a guten Shabbos. I'm looking forward, Mirtz Hashem, to continuing our journey with the Sefer HaChinuch through the world of mitzvahs and meaning.
Yashukol Chacha, thank you so much.
Thank you. Zay gesund.